Good morning. Good to see those here that made it. Those from the Crofton area, we prayed for you this morning. One of them told me on the way in, it's a little bit different up here than it is down at Crofton. So we thank God for safe travels here and home. And as you leave, there's definitely some slippery spots, even on the sidewalks and parking lots. So please be careful, but it's a beautiful morning, it really is. The sun's shining so bright, and it's the day that the Lord has made, so welcome. We welcome all of you, and certainly the family here for Cecilia's baptism, as beautiful as she is. Just some other announcements here. We have our marriage seminar this evening, so hopefully all those that signed up are able to come. We're going to have a good time, as we always do. It's at 4:30 is when it starts in the social hall right here. We have a supper that's being catered from Roosters, so we're looking forward to it. Next Sunday, God willing, is the family fun event down in Yankton at the bowling alley at 3 o'clock. So if you plan to come, which hopefully you do, or you can just come to watch, that's fine. But we do need you to sign up. The gentleman that owns the bowling alley would really like more of a firm number so he knows if other people are calling to ask if he has open lanes, that he knows what to tell them. And you'll be paying, oh, Melanie, where are you? There, you're going to be there next Sunday? Yeah, so you'll pay Melanie Walter right? And then she'll write one check to the bowling alley. That's how they prefer it to be done. So just keep that in mind. Have your maybe close to the right amount that you're able to give to her. I want to say thanks to those that helped move snow early this morning that came in. God bless you for that. It's much appreciated. Also, I didn't get this in the bulletin, but this coming Saturday night is when we put our clocks ahead 1 hour for daylight savings time. So make sure you remember that. We lose an hour of sleep. Lastly, for the cantata, the community cantata, our first practice is tomorrow night over at Olivet at the church there. So as I've been saying, let's have a good number of voices singing in that. Okay, the rest of the announcements you can read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we've come to worship and praise you with all of our hearts as we just sang that last chorus or hymn. Lord, we need you. Every hour, we need you. And that is so true. You are our one defense. You are our righteousness. You have made us to be the righteousness of God in Christ, and we praise you for that. We thank you for your grace and your mercies that are new every morning, your steadfast love that never ceases, for you are the faithful one. You are our Father. And as we have an exciting day with Cecilia's baptism, we thank you for bringing those here safely from Crofton, the distance, and others even in our local area. We ask for your traveling mercies throughout this day. Thank you for the power of the sun to melt the ice from the roadways and the sidewalks. But Father, most of all, we are here to worship you. And Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we give you our highest praise. For you are our Lord and our Savior and our God. And we ask that you would help us to live for you each and every day. Thank you for your power and your presence filling this sanctuary. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's stand and we'll sing our opening hymn, number 605. You got the hymnals, or the words will also be on the screen. Living for Jesus. Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him. Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for Amen. And so we do. We give ourselves to live for Him. Well, before you're seated, take a moment and greet those around you, please. Good morning, Austin.
Good morning.
Hey, sweetie. Yeah. Good morning. 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 Yeah, you can be seated. All right. We'll have our sharing of joys and concerns here this morning. Again, a special welcome to the family for Cecilia's baptism. She's wide awake at the moment, so exciting day for the family. Also, a couple other things that I have, just prayers for Lee and Pat Palmer, real continued on. Lee is, I was down yesterday to see him. He's pretty much confined to the hospital bed there in their home. So the caregivers coming in, and certainly Pat and her kids and grandchildren help a lot, but be praying for them. It's just a challenging time. Also, Arlen Seiler texted me this morning, her sister Sharon. She had had that big back surgery, ended up in the hospital after that again, and then was out for 2 weeks and now is back in intensive care with more problems. My dad, thanks for all your prayers. This last Thursday, he was able to go back to the assisted living with my mother, so it was a glorious day, and we praise the Lord for that. Jennifer Herbolt's mother, Janet Gerritner, she lives over in Freeman. I guess Jennifer had to take her to the emergency room in Freeman, right, this morning. They think there's kidney stones going on, so just be praying for her mom, Janet. And certainly we are praying for the situation in Ukraine and Russia every day. Anything else? I will start on this side over here. Steve.
Praise God for the moisture.
Yes, we do praise the Lord for the moisture. Absolutely, we need it. Were you putting your hand up? Yeah.
Friend of ours, a 3-month-old baby, is waiting for heart surgery on Friday. It's been very sick.
Okay, wow. All right. Brent, now your grandma, are you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Great-grandma
for the baby, yeah. Friends of the family, they have a 3-month-old who's waiting for heart surgery, or it's scheduled?
Scheduled this coming Friday.
Okay. What's the baby's name?
Cooper.
All right. We'll be praying for Cooper and that heart surgery, okay. Anybody else over here? Over here, Cindy. AJ Herbolt's birthday is Monday, and Abby, yeah. And Cindy Herbolt's was yesterday. We're not going to let you by there, Cindy. Happy birthday to both of you, okay? All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne, we thank you for just this time. As a family of believers, for the birthdays mentioned, thank you for each of their lives and bless them. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne, we lift up this little 3-month-old baby boy, Cooper, as he goes for heart surgery the end of this week. Lord, as always, we know and your word tells us that you are the great physician, Jesus, our healer. And we ask that you go before, and that you just take hold of the surgeon's hands as they do whatever the surgery involves, you know, and you know the need here. And we thank you for working your power in together with what medical science can do in this little baby's heart. Father, we pray for the parents, the family, and just ask for your peace to guard them in the days to come leading up to it and through the surgery. We trust for all to go well and for healing to come. Thank you for watching over this precious little one in Jesus' name. Lord, we lift up Arlen's sister Sharon back in the intensive care, and thank you for just giving her strength and healing again after that surgery. We pray for Lee and Pat Palmerville, that you be with them as Lee's confined to the hospital bed in his own home. Thank you for your mercies there and your grace and your blessings on all those that assist. Lord, we lift up Jennifer Herbolt's mother, Janet Gerritner, there at Freeman. We just pray that the stone or stones in the kidney can pass, that things relax enough, and that will pass on through. We just ask for help in that situation. Thank you, Lord, for being with my parents and certainly my dad, as you've renewed his strength and he could go back to the assisted living. We want to pray for our world. So we lift up the situation there in Ukraine and we pray for those people, Lord. You tell us in your word that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous people is tremendously powerful, makes power available that is dynamic in its working. And we know that it's not in our own selves. It's in your righteousness that you have given to us, that we stand in the gap in prayer. Father, in so many ways we feel helpless for what they're going through, but yet we know this prayer is most powerful. We would ask for a resolution, a peaceful solution to this conflict. And thank you for your divine intervention here. We know that you are sovereign over all and that you rule in all situations, and we trust you in that. But we thank you for helping in this situation. And we pray for our own nation here. As always, we ask for healing throughout our nation. We ask for the outpouring of the Spirit of the living God to turn the hearts of this nation back to you and to your word, Father. For our troops, we lift them before you and thank you as they serve so faithfully in our armed forces here at home and abroad. We ask that you keep them safe. Lord, we thank you for the moisture you brought us that we desperately need, and you know that, and we trust you for the right amounts yet to come for the spring planting season. For those that are calving and lambing, a busy, busy time right now, just watch over them. We pray that things go well there. Be with the highway departments as they're out on the roads and the conditions being so icy. Keep them safe. Our law enforcement, and all that have to travel and are traveling today, we ask for your mercies upon them. Thank you for all these things, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read from James chapter 2, verse 23. It says this, "The scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend." What a wonderful thing. And we're going to learn more about that during the sermon time. He was called God's friend. Let's stand together and we'll sing the doxology, please. So, Father, we do praise you for the life and health and strength that you give to us, for the blessings that are so incredible that you pour out upon us so that we are able to give back to you, that we are able to give to other needs that we see around us, of people that we know, of people that we don't know in other parts of our world. But we bring our offerings to you with hearts of joy and thanksgiving. For Lord, you are our provider, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, and Austin and Maria, you can come with Cecilia, and the sponsors can also come, Haley and Greg. All right, I have to tell you about this baptism gown first here. It's quite amazing. This is Maria's grandma's sister. So is it your sister? Is it that grandma? Different grandma.
A different grandma.
Okay, all right. Maria's grandma's sister, it was part of her wedding gown, actually part of the train of the wedding gown that they made into a baptism gown. And when I went out to visit with them earlier this week, Maria was telling me this, and she said, and all the names of the little ones that have been baptized in this gown are written on them on the inside of this dress. And I said, have you ever counted how many? She said, well, no. I said, well, count and let me know. 71. 71, and so Cecilia will be number 72. That should get a smile, shouldn't it? She's like, oh, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? Very special of all the little ones that have been brought to the Lord in this baptism gown. So I want to read first from Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, beginning in verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. And so we do today with Cecilia. I have four questions that I'm going to ask. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't introduce. This is Maria's brother, Greg, one of the sponsors, and of course, Austin's sister, Haley, here. So these are promises that you are making before the Lord on Cecilia's behalf. So when I ask for the we do, both of you can answer as well, okay? Do you desire to have your child baptized today? And do you understand that through this sacrament of baptism, we're actually dedicating Cecilia unto the Lord? If so, answer, we do. And will you instruct and encourage her to renounce the powers of evil? And will you teach her the word of God so that she may be led to profess Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior? If so, answer, we do. Do you promise by the grace of God to be Christ's disciples, to follow in the way of our Savior, to resist oppression and evil, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able? If so, answer, we do. And last, do you promise according to the grace given you to grow with this child in the Christian faith, to help this child to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ by celebrating Christ's presence, by furthering his mission in all the world, and by offering the nurture of the Christian Church so that she may affirm her baptism? If so, answer, we do. Thank you. They'll be on the screen here. I'll read the first part, and then there'll be a response from the congregation. The Bible instructs us to diligently teach God's word to our children. Do you who witness and celebrate this sacrament promise your love and care to this precious child about to be dedicated to the Lord through baptism as she grows in her knowledge of Christ? We promise. Amen. Thank you. And thanks for all you do that are here. We're missing a lot today from our own congregation with the roads, but Mark Guthmiller has a pledge from the Christian Ed Committee.
As a representative of the Christian Education Committee, we pledge to provide an environment within this local church where Cecilia can be taught the Word of God, and where she can grow up spiritually, and where she can begin to develop a personal and intimate relationship with God as her Heavenly Father, and with Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. We would like to present Cecilia and her family with this baptism candle as a remembrance of this special day. We also have a little children's first Bible to give to Cecilia in hopes that her love for God's Word will begin at an early age.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. Okay. She went to sleep. For now. Cecilia Rose Handel, as we are here today to dedicate you unto the Lord through this sacrament of baptism, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Okay, it's all right, it's all right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we worship you and praise you and thank you for this precious little girl, Cecilia Rose Handel. Lord, as you knit her together so perfectly within her mother's womb, we praise you for your goodness, for your word in Psalms that tells us that she has been fearfully and wonderfully made. And we know that so well. And we see it. And we rejoice in your goodness. Thank you, Lord, as we lift her up to you in thanksgiving. We pray over her and ask that every part of her being, spirit, soul, and body, every organ and cell and muscle and tissue and her fingers and toes and just every part grows according to your will and plan. And Father, that your peace would be upon her and within her. And as her middle name is Rose, such a precious, beautiful flower that we all enjoy so much, let her be, Father, as she grows into her personality, filled with your Spirit. We thank you, Father, for your hand of protection upon Austin and Maria and this family. Give them wisdom and strength as they endeavor to raise her in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Thank you for protecting them each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to bring her down and you get to sing to her, "Yes, Jesus Loves You." I know for the tells me so, little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves you, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves you, yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you, the Bible tells us. There you go. Thank you. You can be seated. Amen. So precious. All right, the children can come for the Kingdom Kids time. If the visiting kids want to come, you sure can too. We just sit up here on the steps.
I can't believe you stayed asleep. Hi. Hi. Come on out. Thank you. Hi. Good morning, boys and girls. Good morning. How are you doing today? Good. Do you like the snow? Some do, kind of. You gonna go get to play in it this afternoon?
Yeah.
You're going to go fall off your sled. Okay, then. I like to stay on my sled, but I'm not you. You're okay, so I have a question today. Do you have a best friend?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't want you to tell me who it is. I want you to tell me something about your best friend. Why are they your best friend? Got any ideas? Why? What do they do that you really like for you? Play with you. They're kind to you. They're fun. Any other ideas? They're silly. Yeah, our best friends, we want them to be silly. Okay. They're helpful. Really good. Nice. They're always there for you. Those are all wonderful things. And so how do you get to know your best friend? So how do you get to get them to where they are the best? What do you have to do? Hang out with them. That's exactly right. You have to hang out with them. You have to be with them, right? You have to decide that you're going to get together and call them or talk to them or however you do it at your age. Well, you know what? I have a best friend, too. I'm going to tell you about my best friend. My best friend will listen to me no matter how much I talk. That's important. Girls, get that down, right? Your best friend needs to be able to listen to you to talk. You know, and this best friend of mine, I can talk to him any time of the day or night. I can talk to him when I'm really, really sad. I can just tell him everything. Only the best friend I can do this with. Tell him every single thing. Tell him all the things that hurt me. Tell him all my happy things, morning, noon, or night. My best friend is never, ever too busy for me. That's pretty, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to get to that. My best friend has given me gifts. My best friend brought my husband and I together almost, 29 years ago, coming up. And my best friend gave us gifts of our children, and he gives us gifts all the time to share with people. My best friend is pretty cool. My best friend loves me like no other. Do you know who my best friend is?
Jesus.
You know it. That's right. My best friend is Jesus. Don't you just love this picture? This actually is a puzzle that somebody, a resident at our care center, put together years ago. And then this resident gave it to another resident. And then this resident passed away, and I got this picture. It's a Jesus. Jesus is our best friend. He's the only one that can do all those things that you all said and all those things that I said too. He's the only one. And do you know what else? He is the only one that could die for us, that could have taken our sins, right? That can cleanse us and save us. He's the only one. In fact, it says here in John, verse 15, 13, greater is no one than this, that lay down his life for his friends. That's talking about Jesus. Our friends can do a lot of neat things, you all said, but Jesus is the only one that died for our sins. He's the only one. He's the way to heaven. And we have to do like what you told me with your best friends. We had to spend time with him. Read the word that he gave us, tells us everything we need to know. Ask him to come into our heart, wash our sins away, and be our Lord and Savior. And then he's your best friend. All the time. All we have to do is ask. All we have to do is pray. He's always there. Okay? So you remember. You remember our best friend. Jesus wants to be that person. Thank God he's given us all kinds of other friends and all kinds of people in our lives also to be our other best friends. But he wants to be the number one. All right? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for this time, a joyous time to welcome Cecilia Rose into our congregation, and just awesome time, Father. All these children you love so much. Thank you that you've given us lots of people in our lives, God. Parents and husbands and grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and friends, teachers, everyone. But best of all, God, you gave us Jesus, your son, who died for us, who loves us. Thank you for helping us to remember that he is our best friend of all. Bless these boys and girls wherever they go this week. Help them to be a blessing, to show your light of love to all of those they come in contact with, whether they're at the daycare or at home or at school, wherever they are, Lord, let them shine your light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can go over here and get your papers, all right?
Thank you, Anne. We're going to sing number 643 while the children are going back to their seats. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace that has drawn us unto yourself. We do seek your face, Lord. We seek you in your word, for your word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Jesus, as you said yourself, thy word is truth. And we know it is. It is absolute truth. And so we live our lives according to it with the help of the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, Jesus, for calling us your friends. That is truly incredible. I ask, Lord, that you would speak through me by your Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, to those gathered here today. Let our ears and our hearts and minds be opened unto you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in the Gospel of John this morning, chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Before I start reading, let me just say this. I think you all know we had our Ash Wednesday service just this last week, and so we enter into this season of the church year that we call our Lenten season. The theme is Up to Jerusalem. We started on that on Wednesday night. Two times in Mark's Gospel, the 10th chapter, verse 32 and 33, Jesus was with the 12, in other words, that were following along. And it says in verse 32, they were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. Verse 33, then Jesus said, he said, we are going up to Jerusalem. By this point, the disciples, they knew enough. They knew that going to Jerusalem could be dangerous for him because they knew the hatred of the chief priests and religious leaders was increasing all the time. So they were concerned about that. But he knew the plan, and he said, we are going up to Jerusalem. And so they're on their way. Let me just say one more thing before I read the passage. I told this on Wednesday night too. So they were at Jericho when he said that. From Jericho to Jerusalem, about 18 miles is the distance. Not far in our day, But their day, it take, you know, some time to walk that. And the part of it that's interesting, so we're going up to Jerusalem. Jericho was 825 feet below sea level. It is. Jerusalem is 2,500 feet above sea level. So for around here, you know, that's not really that high. It's not that much higher than us. But if you're going from 825 feet below sea level to 2,500 feet above sea level in 18 miles, you're climbing a distance of just over 3,300 feet. And that is a significant hike up there. So just to give you a picture of that. John chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was meant that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. Amen. All right, let's go into this. So as we walk with Jerusalem through this season of Lent, up to Jerusalem, he's on the last lap, so to speak, of this journey of his life, and even from eternity past, as we talked about Wednesday night, Revelation tells us he is the Lamb of God slain from before the creation of the world. God had the plan. As we walk up to Jerusalem with him, my prayer, our prayer should be that we draw closer to him in our relationship with him. As we're walking with him, just like Anne talked with the children this morning, who's your best friend? Jesus ought to be our best friend. And as we walk with him, that's what should happen. In the natural, we spend time with our friends and we draw closer to them. We get to know them better. And that's what Jesus wants from us, that we draw close to him as we know him better. He had friends. Jesus had friends. When he walked on this earth, he had the 12. There were women from Galilee that followed along and ministered to his needs. There was many others that came. We see some of their names in this passage. And you know what? He calls us his friends. In John chapter 15, he says, I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. So we're going to see him this evening. In the passage, he's enjoying dinner there in Bethany. Bethany is on the Mount of Olives, and he is with his friends. Listen to verse 1 again from John 12. 6 days before the Passover. All right. So remember, they're leaving Jericho. How far was that? Oh, thank you. Hope we're listening. 18 miles. They probably did that in that day. This would have been on the Friday, so a week before Good Friday, all right, is the timing of this. That Friday evening when sunset was when their Sabbath began in that time under the old covenant. So they got there probably late in the afternoon. certainly before sunset, because that's what the law required. They're there that night in Bethany, whose house, maybe Simon the leper, maybe Mary and Martha's house, that we don't know. They spend Saturday, which is the Sabbath, there resting. And then just after sunset on Saturday evening is when this dinner would have taken place. They had to wait till after Sabbath was over. All right? 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrives at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. John's gospel does not tell us the house, but both Matthew and Mark's gospel tell us it was at the home of Simon the leper. That's pretty amazing. And he chooses that evening. So if it's Saturday evening, just so you get it all in your mind, here they're having this dinner in Jesus' honor. What would be happening the next day? What's Jesus doing? Riding on the donkey into Jerusalem, right? Palm Sunday, as we call it, that would have been the very next day. And he knows everything that's going to happen to him in that coming week. And he's just enjoying this supper in his honor with his friends. Individual names are given. As I told you Wednesday night when we looked at Hebrews 12, it says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Part of that joy was seeing every one of your faces right here in this year of 2022, knowing him and loving him. He saw your face. So he is the honored guest of this night. And what do we learn from that? He needs to be the honored guest every time we gather in his name. Certainly at church, in worshiping him, he is the honored guest. He is the reason we are here, Christ alone, to worship him. And we have to always remember that. In the book I told you that I had read when we were at Cancun in January, this devotional book that I'm taking parts of this series from, I want to read a statement here that author said. The Holy Spirit is always seeking to raise up a fellowship of believers who will gather around Jesus to do him honor, to lift him up before the world, and to exalt him for his wonderful plan of redemption. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, and that's our goal here. So, all right, going on, there is an outline in the bulletin there if you want to fill it out. So who are these friends that are mentioned in this passage of John chapter 12, and what can we learn about them in their friendship with Jesus? Number one, the friends of Jesus are those who have experienced his saving power. Of course, that has to be number one. Like Ann talked with the kids about, in order to know Jesus as a friend, we have to know him first as Savior and Lord. Then we are part of the family of God. Then we become his friend. So who are the two? Well, number one, we see two incredible examples of healing of people who are gathered in this house. First, Simon the leper, healed of leprosy. Oh, that was a horrible, horrible disease in that day, leprosy. It is mentioned at least 40 times throughout Scripture. We know they had leper camps where these people had to live. They were not supposed to approach anybody because it was so contagious. Boy, sounds a little about like what we just lived through, doesn't it? Yeah. And they had to holler out, unclean, unclean. And we had to wear masks that said maybe we're unclean or whatever. I'm not getting into that. Sorry. Leprosy is, in Scripture, is a graphic illustration of the destructive power of sin. And how did leprosy work with the physical disease? From within. It worked from within and just eating away, and it comes and eats away the fingers and the ears, the nose, the toes, all these things. It was horrible, horrible. And this man, Simon, had been healed. That's incredible, isn't it? Wow. Second guy there, we know Lazarus. He was raised from the dead. So two incredible miracles of healing of these two men in that house, in Simon the leper's house that night, having this dinner to honor Jesus. For the leper, the only hope of healing was Jesus. That was it in that day. They had no cure for the disease, nor did they have any way to raise a person from the dead. Again, both of these are two very vivid types of sin and our spiritual condition without Jesus. Because without Jesus, we are lost, right? We are born spiritually dead. Psalm 51:5, David, King David said, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." That we are born that way with that sin, as we call it, original sin. That's why Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you have to be born again. And Nicodemus, a very religious man, is like, I don't get that. You mean I got to go inside my mother again and be born again? No. As precious as Cecilia is, my goodness, she is not perfect. We say, oh, she's so perfect. And as we look at her outward appearance, she is precious. But as I've told you many times before, one of her first words, other than mama or dada, is probably not going to be, I love you. No, one of her first other words is going to be, no. And Austin Marina, don't even have to teach her that. And one of her very next words is going to be, when it comes to toys, mine. And they don't teach her that either. That's that sinful nature within that we are born with. And that's why we have to be born again by Jesus Christ, knowing him as our Lord and Savior. So, friends of Jesus, number one, we have to experience his saving power. Thank goodness for that. Second, as a friend of Jesus, it includes those who want to serve him. That just becomes part of it. And Simon the leper, the first guy, he jumped at this opportunity to serve, to open his house. We don't know really anything about his home, but he had experienced Christ, his healing power, his saving power, and he just wanted to serve. Hey, they heard someone probably sent word ahead. Hey, Jesus is coming. He's coming up to Bethany with the disciples, maybe others following. I'll open my house. They can come here. Could at least 20 people minimum. That's what a transformed life wants to do. How about Martha? Let her be. She was there. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor, John 12. Martha served. Now we could go back to Luke chapter 10 at another time when we see about Martha. Earlier when Jesus came to Bethany and went to the house of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, they were brothers, brother and sisters. Remember that one? And Martha's serving. And she's trying to fix the dinner and everybody's in the house. And she gets upset. It says she was distracted there in Luke by all the preparations that had to be made. Well, ladies, you know how that goes, don't you? And there's Lazarus listening to Jesus teach. And there's Martha's sister Mary listening to Jesus teach. And she's not helping her sister. And finally, Martha has just about had enough. And she goes out there, interrupts the master. Lord, tell my sister to help me. And he doesn't. He says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about many things. And one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen that best part. And what was it? The Word of God. Yeah. So this time, Martha's just serving with joy. That's how we have to assume it. If we're going to serve, we got to serve with joy, not grumbling. Why isn't anybody else helping me? Why am I always doing this? Well, we lose the blessing of serving with that kind of attitude. No, she was serving with gratitude. Think of the joy in her heart. She had just seen Lazarus, her brother, raised from the dead not long before this night when the supper was happening. She didn't get bitter. She got better. That's the important thing to know. Third, the friends of Jesus. Who are these friends? One, those that have experienced his saving power. Two, those who want to serve him. Three, those who want to give him their deepest devotion. Their deepest devotion. We sort of sang that in the opening hymn, Living for Jesus. And the chorus, I love that chorus, as those words go. Well, who do you think this might be? Mary. It's Mary. She's also listed in verse 3, John 12. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. That sounds like a weird word for us today, nard, doesn't it? But you know what? This perfume is made from a root that they found in the Himalaya Mountains. Think of that, 2,000 years ago. You know how far Jerusalem was from the Himalaya Mountains? I looked it up this week. About 4,000 miles. 4,000 miles. Now, do you think the Jewish people themselves went to the Himalayas? I highly doubt it. They had traders and all that then, too, who would have gone up there, got those roots, processed it, made it into this perfume, or could have just brought the dried roots down, and they had trade routes to get it to Jerusalem, but it was extremely expensive. She, Mary, poured it on Jesus' feet. And this is Martha's sister, Mary. It's not Mary Magdalene. It's not Mary, the mother of Christ. It is Martha's sister who's doing this. Poured it on his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance, of the perfume. Now, in order to get all the details, you know, you got to look at Matthew's gospel. You got to look at Mark's gospel. Got to look further in verse 5 here when Judas Iscariot pipes up. How much was that alabaster jar worth? A year's wages. Think of that. She's pouring it on his feet. Matthew and Mark's gospel tell us that Mary poured it on his head. Is that a contradiction? No. No, they're just leaving out the detail of the feet. So in other words, Mark's gospel also said it was an alabaster jar. She broke it, poured it on his head. So the picture we get, she anointed him, in other words, from head to toe. All of it. And what a beautiful picture of her devotion and her love and her humility. For her to unveil herself in that culture and let her hair down and wipe his feet with that perfume was not a normal thing. It was an act of total humility, her humbling herself completely in front of all who were there. Total devotion and wiping his feet, which would have been, in that day, the dirtiest part, typically, of anyone's body, walking in what they walked in that day. Last one, who are these friends of Jesus? Those who want to learn from him. They want to learn from him. That's what's happening there. With most of those present, I'll say most, you have Mary, Martha, Lazarus. They're learning there. You have Simon the leper. You have the 12 who are there. Could have been other women there, very likely. And they're just soaking it in, his teaching, soaking it all in like sponges, which is what we need to do. If we go back to John chapter 6, which is when Jesus proclaimed, I am the bread of life. Talked about partaking of him, and the people weren't understanding it. As you go on in John chapter 6, the Bible says, and many of those that followed him left him because it was such a hard saying. And he turned to his own 12, and he said, do you guys want to leave too? You're going to leave me also? And guess who piped up? Peter. Lord, To whom shall we go? I love that verse. To whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. And he does. And we draw near to him. And so they did. But guess what? When God's word, listen, this is out of the book. When God's word is read, taught, or preached, and it no longer holds any attraction for us, we may rest assured that we have become alien to the friends of Jesus and to Jesus himself. Did you get that? We don't ever want to be in that place. When God's word is read, taught, or preached, and it no longer holds any attraction to us, we are in a very dangerous place. And that, the last guy who's there in that room, in that house, is Judas Iscariot. And that's where he came to. He came to that place, right? One of the disciples here, you know, he's trying to act so religious, so pious. Oh, what does he say? Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It's worth a world, worth a year's wages. And Jesus saw right through it. And he knew it all. He knew Judas was stealing out of the money bag of their personal treasury, the 12. He knew he was a thief. And yet he let him hang with him all that time. He knew he was the one that was going to betray him. It had to be. It was spoken before, ahead of time. It had to be. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. And what does he say? Leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. One of the other gospels says, to prepare for my burial. See, Mary saw something that the 12 didn't. She saw something. She heard. She was listening with her heart when Jesus was trying to tell him at least 3 times that I'm going up to Jerusalem. I'm going to be betrayed into the hands of the chief priests, teachers of the law. They're going to, all what we talked about Wednesday night, they're going to kill me. And she saw and she did what she did. And not here, but in the other gospels, it says, as long as the gospel of Christ is preached, this will be told, what Mary did for me on that night. So we sit here as we gather always and we want to draw close to him. We want to learn from him. Absolutely. Not just here, but hopefully throughout our week at home. When you're driving, the Word of God is available to us from every avenue we could ever think about in this day that we live. We want to give him our deepest devotion. We want to serve him and thankfully to experience his saving power. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is our desire. That is why we gather. One of the reasons, certainly, is we gather to worship you, to sit at your feet, learn from you, to keep our hearts pure before you. Lord, if we've ever got to that place where your word holds no attraction to us, please forgive us, Father. We confess that sin. If we ever get to the place where we're just bored with it, forgive us, Father, in Jesus' name. We do not want to deny you or betray you before people we know. We want to serve you faithfully in this generation where you have placed us to live. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so our closing hymn, what else could I think of but what a friend we have in Jesus? Number 630, let's stand as we sing this, please. What a privilege. Please receive the benediction. And now may the Lord go with you. May he go ahead of you to guide you, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you his peace. Amen. And we here for a couple years now, as we close, we've been singing God Bless America as a prayer for our nation, and we will do that today. You may be seated. Thank you, Joanne, for the beautiful music.